You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
By way of recap, for those that are visiting or joining us and have missed out weeks before, we've been preparing as a church to go, and we've got this hashtag go, church on mission, to go and tell the local community, firstly, that we're here, that we exist, what are we about, what we believe, and why is it important? I noticed there's still one CD at the back, so if you missed any of the messages, you're welcome to grab that. Otherwise, you can find messages online just to find out. You'll also see some things in your notice sheet, which I was asked by a number of people if you can put some of the passages in that you use during the message, it's useful. So I'm trying to do that, and if I forget, you can tell me off and remind me, and then I hopefully won't forget. But this last Sunday is a Sunday in the month of October. It's essentially the last Sunday in a block, which we're going to repeat through November. We gathered as all age at the beginning. We had a preparing to go. We went out last weekend and did a number of things. And then this week is a case of saying, well, let's recap and find out what is it that we've actually learned. So if you missed the last mission day, I know some were on holiday. You've got a chance to come and be part of that. Also, we are taking booklets of things out during the week, and our planning team are looking at stuff. As I said last time around, I haven't been really prescriptive with this and say, this is how it's all done. Much as I'd like to plan everything out, we've got a team of people that are looking at that and saying, well, how do we go and how do we get all this good news out? Hopefully you saw some nice new signs on the way in. We've got some new posters here, and hopefully wherever you go, quite funnily, my daughter Jasmine did actually put one of the booklets in Sainsbury's. She left it on the shelf, and it was Martin, Serena's husband, that was walking through Sainsbury's, and he took a photograph of it, and he shared it, and he said, look what I found in Sainsbury's. He said, the mission is on. So maybe there's a bit of a challenge to see where you can put these booklets and see if anyone can spot where they are. But we started this mission with prayer and fasting. It was really important. And we started, it seems maybe ages ago now, fortnight fast, 16th of September. We said, shall we pray for that 2 weeks before we go out on mission? And at the end of that two-week fast, somebody says, well, a number of people said, we shouldn't give up praying and fasting. So we've done that pretty much for the whole of October. And the question is, as some people have said, well, we shouldn't give up praying and fasting. So the challenge is, do you want to pray and fast throughout November? And if the answer is yes, our wonderful Jeff and Andrew will come around later and say, do you want to pick a day to continue to fast? And it's a real challenge to us. I keep being challenged, but again, we love the Lord's Prayer, we know the Lord's Prayer, and we got the Lord's Prayer because they said, teach us how to pray. And he taught us how to pray. And then right afterwards, in the next line, it says, when you fast. I've said it before, not if, but when you fast. And that's in the context of praying. Teach us to pray. Pray like this, and then when you fast. So the two go hand in hand, and it's a real challenge. And I know as church, individuals have been really motivated, empowered, seen breakthrough in their lives when we fast. So we've continued fasting throughout October. What has the fruit been then? Because if you say, well, where's the fruit then, Darren, of this? Let me rattle some of these off. God has given some people special breakthrough in areas of their lives where they didn't have it before. Praise God. That's really exciting. Some have had special revelation and hearing from God in ways they've never heard before. Now, that's got to be good, isn't it? Others have found either renewed boldness or a sense of purpose is what they've said. I've got real purpose in my life now. Others have found that God was working in family, friends, and neighbors. Although they may have been praying, Lord, give me that opportunity, they were thinking they might have to make the opportunity, but God made the opportunities and they were there ready. And that was wonderful. Some have said Limerick Wood is not for them and have sought God out in other places, while others have come and said, I believe this is my new home. God answers our prayers. So this week has been publicized, if you look on the notice sheet or you look at stuff that's come up, lessons learned. Now, learnt or learned? Apparently you can use both. If you're an English scholar, you can come and correct me afterwards. I wrote learned, but I say learnt. So there you go. But both are correct. Lessons learned or learnt. What have we learnt so far? So on the Mission Sunday last week, we divided into three groups. There was one group that stayed here in the church that were praying for those that were going out. And we had a number of visitors as well, which was absolutely wonderful. And Dave and Sue will tell you a story of a lad that came in. And when they found out it was in Northamptonshire, wherever it lives, it turns out it doesn't just live in Northamptonshire. It was in the same road where Sue and Dave's son live, is actually what they drove it down to. And you kind of go, you know, these people come in just so at one Sunday by chance, and you find out that they're actually your son's neighbour. It's wonderful. Some were out knocking doors and asking people what they want prayer for, and we got a number of prayer requests. Others were out in the street. We went down to Jardine Crescent. We played some songs. We had the opportunity. Nikki Blesser met this chap down there, started talking to him. He was a Russian nuclear physicist or something or the other, and she thought, oh, I'm going to be out of my depth on this one. But actually, although he's on a journey to faith, he said, the more I look, the more it points to a creator. And people are genuinely searching. And part of what we said was, when we go out on mission, we need to be listening to what it is that God is saying. And I do want you to feed that back to me as well. This is about us as church, not just me doing something. But I want to hear from you, what is God saying when you go out? Speak to each group, and I hope you'll get lots of different inspiring replies. Part of the feedback that was sent to me, there were real glimpses of glory with people being receptive or even openly challenged by the idea that that loving creator was actually for them. And there's the flip side of that too. There were extremely broken people who actually defined themselves by their brokenness and their pain. And some of them wore that on their sleeve. One of our little ones went out to speak to a chap in a wheelchair that had his legs missing. And he said, what is there good in this world to be thankful for? And it is recognizing the brokenness that is there, but we can still pray for them. And actually, when our little ones go out, the teenagers, you know, they're quite bold in taking booklets up to people and saying, you know, God loves you. And actually, when it comes from a child sometimes, it's really precious. We have the privilege of praying for everyone, whether they're positive or not. So what have we learned? I think one of the things I've seen is that there's been some amazing people here at Limbrick Wood that have stepped up in various ways to move things forward. It could be said that some of the things we've been engaging in, as I mentioned a moment ago, could be more organised. And genuinely, I do like to see things really organised. It might be the sailor in me, you see, because if you get the tides wrong, you get the winds wrong, and you're not organised when you go on your journey, you could end up running aground. But church isn't like that. We've got a body of people, and actually I've really enjoyed seeing different people blossom in so many different ways. As we've been listening to God, I've asked people, support me, what is it that God is saying? Wait and see what God does in and through you. So lessons learnt so far. I think there's a lot to celebrate. Everything that's happened has moved us forwards in church. It's also interesting to share that I had a few people say, do you know what, Darren, it's been okay to fail. And that's quite good. I've got it up there. We used this in a message before. What does fail stand for? First attempt. Here it comes. In learning. First attempt. Don't be afraid to fail. And a few people said to me, I've put myself in a position where I might fail, but I haven't. And I don't think I've seen anybody fail at all. In fact, I think I've seen people thrive more so. And we're learning together. I think this is one of the most exciting things for me, is actually seeing us get together and pray and fast and really respond to this call to go. So you'd ask me the question, well, what next then, Darren? What do I think God is saying to us next as we're going to look to put more booklets through doors? Hopefully engage in some community events, some things that are coming up this next weekend as we step into another month of mission. And I was led to that reading, Matthew 13, if you want to turn to it in your Bibles. If anybody hasn't got a Bible, stick your hand up. So Stuart would definitely come around and give you one. Has everybody got a Bible this morning? That's fine. So Matthew 13, it's good to read this stuff for ourselves. Our reading was read by four fabulous little readers there. Thank you. Not so little. They'll steady what I'm saying now. It's little from here. I was taller than you. Some obviously will know all of that passage as the parable of the sower, was the title, parable of the weeds, and so on. And others might dig a little deeper. You can pardon the pun. Call it the four soils. And why I believe God drew me to this passage is that it's both very practical, but it's also what Jesus himself teaches us. And I don't know about you, I want to hear what Jesus says. As we call this mission to go, what does Jesus say about it? Now, if you were speaking to a marketing person, they might talk about when you try and advertise something, they'll talk about impressions. If you make an impression on someone but they don't respond, then you need to make another impression upon that person. And you repeat the process until you get the result that it is that you are after. That is very basic marketing stuff. If you were to speak to a marketing person, they might say it takes about five times to actually put something in front of somebody before they go, do you know what? It's like they've heard it for the first time. I might have heard of that somewhere before. And you go, yeah, I've been telling you and telling you and telling you. But only now, after X amount of times, does it actually start to sink in. And you might, if you were in sales, you might get a sale. So, of course, you could take that thinking over to the Christian context, couldn't you? Very dangerous, maybe, if you do. In the Christian context, I did look up some of the research on this stuff. They say some say it might take between 4 and 18 times to hear the gospel before somebody responds. Now, there might be some truth in how we hear stuff, because marketing people have obviously worked out some of the psychology of that. But actually, the gospel isn't a product, is it? It's something different, and it actually doesn't rely upon us. And I think my challenge would be to us, whoever we're speaking to when we go out on mission, we've got to assume that they've heard 18 times before. So this is the time when you can tell them the gospel and they're really going to hear it. That's the challenge. Because if we don't believe that God's word has got the power to do it, we're going to be half-hearted. You know, just, well, I might be number four, or I might only be number one. They're not going to listen this time. So, you know, I'll kind of do them a bit, but I'm not expecting anything. Well, actually, my challenge is to say, come on, expect the result. Expect that when you speak to that person, you are the person that's got the privilege of leading them to Christ. That you're going to be that person there that's going to hear their confession. And they're going to say, well, what about this and this? And we might just have that word or that answer to give to them from Scripture. And then the Holy Spirit will come and do that work. And I've mentioned before, I had a privilege of praying for a lady the other week. And when she confessed something, what was beautiful is she said, I thought I would feel guilty, but I don't feel guilty anymore. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? He takes away our guilt and our shame. Had she heard the gospel 18 times before? I don't know. Possibly. I know a number of people that do know her and have sowed into that situation. We should never assume that this person is never going to respond when we go and sow the seed. Be bold enough to lead them to Christ. Be bold enough to say, turn from that way which is not towards Christ. Turn and follow Christ. It's wonderful. And if you don't believe it's wonderful yourself and you're not walking that way, it's going to be really difficult to say, well, actually, I know it's that way, but I haven't gone yet. And that was the whole point, wasn't it, that we looked at when we go on mission. How do we go on mission? It starts with me first. I think if you were to speak to a popular evangelist and they were standing up in front of thousands of people like they tend to do, I almost guarantee the thought going through their mind isn't, I wonder if they've heard it 15 times or 16 times. That evangelist says, no, this is the word of God and it's got power and it can change lives. And I'm going to be faithful to that. And I expect people to respond. I expect somebody to respond. I know Holy Spirit can do that work. So let the Holy Spirit do it. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's God's own power for salvation to all who have faith in God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Is that you? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I want us all to be fired up by those words because they're true. They're in Scripture. But I want to just do a little bit of a reality check just where we're at. Jesus taught certain things and not everyone will listen. And this is why soil is so important. Now, it's funny, my memory is dreadful, as you know. I bumped my head and I've forgotten stuff. And as I was going through soil, I was thinking, oh, we did something on soil. What did we do about soil? And of course, I went back to 2017, and 2017 was all about soil. And I don't know if you remember this, because it was the car number plate thing that I felt God was saying, 2017, it's all about 2017. I'm going, I don't get it, Lord. And then it wasn't until I was sat in a car and you try and read the number plate and say, what is that person actually trying? Oh, I see. It says Tracy or whatever it says on it. 2017, what does it say? Well, actually, if we rotate a couple of the letters, you can actually see 2017 was, can you read that now? Soil. 2017 was all about soil. And actually, it was our church motto at the time. What soil are we? It was all about soil. So we're going to briefly look at the four soils that Jesus spoke of. And it's not rocket science this morning. It's quite a quick message this morning. Because these soils we will encounter in this passage, we will encounter on the streets. As we go to people's houses, it might be in your workplaces, it might be family, it might be your neighbours. Soil is important. And what soil are we expecting? And I think it's really important to catch this because we are a church on mission. We want to see fruit, but we need to be aware of what that might look like. So let's set the scene again. Large crowds are gathered. They're here to hear Jesus speak. And Jesus spoke to them in parables. In parables. So what's a parable? A simple earthly story to illustrate a moral or a spiritual truth. In fulfillment, it says in Matthew 13, 14, Jesus was doing what the prophet Isaiah foretold in chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. And actually, I looked this up in a commentary as well. Jameson Fawcett Brown, if you like reading through some of their commentaries, this is what they say. Parables serve the double purpose of revealing and concealing, presenting the mysteries of the kingdom to those who know and relish them, though in never so much a small degree in a new and attractive light, but to those who are insensible to spiritual things, yielding only as so many tales or just some temporary entertainment. So what are they? Entertainment, or are they real truths that are attractive to us? The disciples were always keen to find out what Jesus was saying through them. And if we pick up Jesus' explanation of the four different soils as people respond to the gospel in different ways, I think this is really helpful to us as we go. And it might be that you've spoken to somebody and you're thinking, well, what happened there? Or you might think of somebody and say, actually, I know that was the soil that they were. So what is the seed? The seed is the word of God, yeah? Or the word of the kingdom, whichever you want to look at. And we are the different types of soils, as we said before. And without focusing too deeply on today's soils, let's look what Jesus said about the seed on the path, the rocky places, the shallow soil, and the good soil. So, number one, the path or the hard ground will be that person that you may speak to who has been hardened by sin. And let's be honest, that could be things that they've done or things that have been done to them. Sin can harden us all in so many different ways. Like the children, they encountered that gentleman. They spoke to him last weekend. They may hear the word, but they don't understand it. They might reject it. Satan is quick to remove the message from them so that they actually remain unaffected by the good news. If you use the marketing speak, you would say no impression was made. However, I still think that man in that chair last week would say, why do those kids come up and show an interest in me? I'm sure it hasn't happened. It might have been an adult had before, but why were those kids interested in me? The second soil is the stony ground, or the rocky places where the soil is shallow. And this represents people who like to give an impression that they delight in the word of God, but fundamentally, their hearts have not changed. So life carries on as it always has. Give that person a little nudge as to the validity of their faith. For example, come on mission with the church, or if any troubles come their way, it's like the sun coming up. The plant is scorched, it says in the word, it withers because it has no root, and likewise their faith quickly disappears, and so do they. Remember, these are Jesus' words speaking truth about how people will respond to the gospel. It's not about judging people, but I think it is about being realistic. If this is what Jesus encountered, we need to have the same mindset that sometimes there's going to be good soil and sometimes there's going to be rocky soil or stony soil. What is the third soil that we have? Well, the third soil is the thorny ground. It looks like it's fruitful soil, but the thorns choke up or come up and choke them. And again, these are people that seem to receive the word in all its fullness, but their hearts were still actually after earthly treasures or pleasures. And eventually the things of this world take over their attention and they are gone. They reject the word of God, or they just slip away from it. You know, I ask, why have everybody got a Bible here this morning? Is it so precious to you? It's the thing that carries, that you carry around. You're identified on a Sunday by those people that carry their Bibles. It's so important to me, the word of God. And we need to be prepared that people like that will come, and not to be surprised if they come along and make a big splash and we think, wow, these people are amazing. But actually, like that firework, they come along and it's beautiful for a moment, and then it's gone, and you go, well, what was that all about? All too quickly, they may be off chasing the next thing. And finally, we have the fourth soil, the good soil, or the good ground. And it's described as good because it brought forth fruit. The seed multiplied. How many times did it multiply? 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The person represented by this good soil is the only one of the four soils that is truly saved. Just think about that for a moment. It's the only one of the four soils that's truly saved. Read about it in Matthew 3 and Matthew 7. And again, I put some of these in the notice sheet there. There is fruit if salvation is at work. If not, as John the Baptist said, Matthew 3 and verse 10, it says, the axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. There's a lot of fire in the message today, isn't there? A lot of fire. And Jesus says a similar thing. If you would go flick on to Matthew 7, 15 through to 20. He says, watch out for false prophets. These are Jesus' words. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Harks back to the message last week, doesn't it? Or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Jesus' words again. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Is what we were saying a few weeks ago, wasn't it? Apple trees produce apples. Yeah, pear trees produce pears. It's quite simple. Disciples make disciples. And if you're not making disciples, are you a disciple? It's a challenge. I throw it out there. It's not a judgment. It's a challenge to us, isn't it? If I'm a disciple, am I making disciples? And I want this to be encouraging. I want us to take away today as we start to knock on doors and we start to speak to people. Our aim is to bring about, as we've said before, a culture of prayer in Tile Hill. I don't want you to be discouraged if you haven't led 15 people to Christ by breakfast time. Okay, that might be a good thing, and we'll all be asking how you did it. But we need to faithfully follow what God is saying and God is giving us. And I think so far God has led us in such an amazing way that here we are. We are where we are. So let's scatter his word because it's right and it's true. It's liberating. It breaks down strongholds. It can set the captive free. And it's not because we are strong, but because God is almighty. God is power. It's God's power that we need. In heavenly armor we enter the land because the battle belongs to Darren. That would be rubbish, wouldn't it? The battle belongs to the Lord's. And for encouragement, I strongly recommend, if you haven't connected with your life group yet, and everybody has been invited to a life group, and if you haven't had an invitation to a life group yet, come and see me afterwards. But I want you to connect with your life groups because we're sharing information within those groups. And it's a place where we can spur one another on. You know, after we did the mission, there was a few people that had some really horrible weeks or a few days that were just really dark and went, oh, this is dreadful. And it's like, almost we've got to say, wow, isn't that brilliant? I've had a really rubbish day because the enemy has come in and he's not happy. And he really wants to try and disarm us or discourage us or knock us off our perch and say, oh, well, there's no point doing that anymore. It's just a load of rubbish, isn't it? And actually, no. The enemy comes in. When the darkness comes in like a flood, you said it. You sung it a minute ago. Not if, but when. And sometimes we're in those really dark places. But the battle belongs to the Lord. And I think if we get in our home groups and our life groups, we can really encourage one another. And it's a place where we can share that and say, I think this is tough. And you're in a safe environment to do that. Gather for prayer. Pray specifically for some of those things that have come up. Pray for those people that we've met on the doorsteps or on the streets. And the idea is, I'd love to see the idea. I did speak with the mapping team about gathering together specifically to pray through the prayer requests. Now, we can do that in life groups, and that will be great to do that in life groups. But I kind of had this picture in my mind of a table sat around with us all having a cup of coffee or something. And we've got this pile of papers in the middle with all the prayer requests written on. And we can say, wow, this person, this is what they want prayer for. And we can sit around and gather and specifically pray for this. And I will continue to share it with the home groups and life groups so we can pray for those. But I just like the idea. So I throw it out to the mapping team and to whoever else might be interested. But as we get some of this stuff back together, just to have that culture of prayer that we can go back to the community and say, so what's God done? Has he answered your prayer? And actually, if they say, well, actually, it's really interesting you should say that. I'm thinking, yeah, I really hoped it would be interesting because that's what we've been praying for. We believe a God answers prayer. And I had a conversation with, I think it's probably my nan when I saw her this week, and just saying, isn't it amazing? Before you came to faith, I don't know if you can remember a time, but when stuff seemed to happen in your life, and when you became a Christian, you look back and you went, no, see, God was working in those places. Yeah, God was there. And actually, some of those things were really tough. But you say, well, how did I come through? Well, maybe the only way I came through that, because God actually was there. And they were dreadful situations, but I still know that God was there. And he brought me through for such a time as this. I really want to pray that we can connect with different people and we can see God answering prayer. And I want people really on the estate to say, yeah, Limbrick Wood, oh, yeah, they'll pray for anything, they will. They'll pray for you. The answer, of course, is going to say, can you pray for the lottery? I mean, the answer to that one is we've tried already and it doesn't work. Okay, the answer is definitely no. We can tell you that to start with. It might be a yes for you, but it wasn't for us. And as we go, and I just want us to be really realistic this morning. There's good soil. There's stony ground. There's hard ground. We're going to meet all sorts of different people. But actually, that word that we were challenged with, and Jasmine sent it out to us as a family group this morning, was we go with love. And we love people, and we love them, and we love them again. And speaking to other church leaders in the city, they say, broken people come in, and we love them, and we think we've patched them up. And they go, and then they fall, and then they come back. But we love them again. And they might go and they might fall. But when they come back, we love them again. And we need to do that safely. There are safeguarding things that we've got put in place. But our arms are always open. And I just want to finish with Ephesians 6. If you want to turn in your Bibles, I just encourage you, maybe if you want a passage to meditate on this week, and you'll know it well, and I can still picture Adrian in all the gear. the armor of God. I just want to finish with these words because I think it's just encouraging. I want this to be encouraging to us this morning. So if you want something to go back and meditate on this week and read it through, if you've done it before, we've said with Bible stuff, you know, read it through. Then maybe try and put yourself in that place. Read it again. Say, God, what do you want to say to me through this? God, what do you want me to do as a result of this word? Ephesians 6, in at verse 10, the armor of God. You don't know how difficult it is to go online and find a photograph or a piece of artwork that's got armor spelt with a U in it. It's all the American spelling on everything. You've got to put the armor on. So it says this, and I close with this morning. It says, finally, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Church, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Suck that in for a moment. Let's not just gloss over that. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with, and you'll remember these, the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we do something once we've got all that on. And pray. And I think this is really important. This is why we think prayer and fasting has been really important. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And I don't know about you, Paul's speaking here. Do you feel like that sometimes? I'm that ambassador, but I'm in chains, that I may preach it fearlessly as I should. If you don't know it, you're going to struggle to do it. So let's gather in our home groups and encourage one another and spur one another on.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.